I meet teachers who have been teaching for 30 years and they feel uncomfortable changing anything because it's worked well for 30 years, but the landscape has changed. So if you're not going to adapt and if you can't make these changes, then you will get left behind.
Welcome to the Teach Music Online podcast, where we help music teachers thrive. I'm Carly Walton, your host, and on this podcast, we discuss marketing strategies, tech for online teaching, mindset for growth, course creation, and so much more. No matter where you are in your journey, here you'll receive weekly inspiration to boost your studio success. Thanks for joining me. Hey, teachers, welcome back. I'm so excited for another episode of the Teach Music Online podcast, of course. I hope that in this show, you find new ideas, inspiration, and momentum for your studio, no matter where you're at. If you are fresh out of college and you are just diving right into being a virtual online teacher, you will find everything you need, whether you're starting from scratch or not. Also, for you seasoned teachers who have been teaching for a long time, I've had teachers who have recently joined the Teach Music Online membership who emailed me before they joined saying, "Hey, I'm kind of an expert already. What do you have to offer me?" And I think it's a fair question. When you've been doing what you've been doing for so many years, what else is there to learn? Well, I will tell you that I always feel like I have so much to learn, especially when there's so much innovation in the tech world right now. Today on the podcast, we are focusing and talking about Musi.live, a platform that's changing the game for online music education. And I can confidently say that I know you're going to be blown away by the tools that you're going to hear today discussed with Sam, one of the founders of Musi. Sam and Carl Reddy, a father and son duo, are the creators of Musi.live, and they created it in response to the pandemic's challenges. It has evolved from a marketplace for music lessons to a comprehensive tool for studio management, tailored to the needs of music teachers and students. Sam himself is a teacher. He's an incredible teacher, and he uses his own platform. Musi was originally designed to connect teachers with students for lessons billed by the minute, but Musi.live quickly adapted to become a more integrated solution for teachers to bring their existing students to the platform. This change was driven by direct feedback from music educators looking for better ways to conduct lessons online. The core of Musi.live, or what the Reddys call the Musi methodology, focuses on providing the right tools to make teaching and learning music online more efficient and engaging. With users in over 40 countries, that's amazing, the platform's growth speaks to its effectiveness and the positive impact it's having on the music education community. Before we dive into this conversation, I want to share with you a review from one of our TMO members who talks all about the difference it has made in their teaching journey. They said, "I found Carly Walton and Teach Music Online while on Facebook and when COVID first hit. Carly had a podcast on how to do online lessons. I had been trying to transfer students to online lessons with much anxiety and frustration. She and her work were a light in the darkness of that time. Her calm demeanor and encouraging words accompanied the practical instructions that I needed to continue working. Since then, TMO has developed into a membership that includes courses and so much more. Members are encouraged to share their strengths and journeys and of overcoming obstacles with one another. Often, members are highlighted in podcasts and teach others within the community as well. The confidence that comes from applying Carly's coaching is amazing. I'm grateful for Carly and TMO and still learning and growing from it." Thank you so much for this review. I think this is a shining example of always being open to improving and being inspired by others. Let's go ahead and dive into my discussion with Sam Reddy. I'm just thrilled to offer this to you. In this call, he shares insights on how Musi.live is staying ahead in music education and the role of AI in enhancing lesson assignments. It is truly incredible. Let's go ahead and get started. Sam Reddy, thank you for getting on a podcast call with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's so great to catch up with you. I have been wanting to chat with you. You started Musi.live and it's been a few years now, but I thought you could kind of backtrack us into why you started it and when it started and kind of what has happened since then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think with Musi was technically our third product as a company. So we started way back in 2015 when I was still in college as my sort of final project for Berkeley. I created a practice app for college students. And so that was sort of the birth of the whole company and the idea of sort of building software for music education. And then we ran that for about 3 or 4 years, and we built another app sort of in the meantime. That one actually never got released. It was supposed to be sort of like flashcards that would listen to you playing and they'd give you feedback on what you were playing. It's a pretty cool concept, but just never really made it to the light of day. And then in about 2019, we were thinking about online lessons, ironically, prior to COVID by a year or so. We were thinking about online lessons, and I was actually thinking more of like a tutoring marketplace kind of thing. So the original concept for Musi was actually going to be that we had a couple hundred teachers on the platform at any given time, and then students could come to the platform and request a lesson. And instead of going through the whole scheduling and waiting, you would just get connected instantly to a teacher. So you could basically go there anytime, get lessons for as long as you wanted, stuff like that. And so through 2019, we built out this whole infrastructure for hosting high quality online lessons. And then we rolled the whole thing out January 10th, 2020. And so that was weird timing. So it only lasted a month or so with the like marketplace concept. Every single teacher that we had on the platform was basically saying the same thing. As soon as the pandemic sort of lockdown went into place, everybody was like, okay, this is cool, but we also need to be able to teach our students as well as these other students. So it was a pretty easy switch for us because it didn't really require anything other than just creating accounts for students instead of random students. You were connecting to students. And so that was sort of the birth of what Musi is now. And that would probably be February of 2020 where that sort of put itself. And then, three or so years later, almost 4 years later, we've just been continuing, expanding, and sort of building out the feature set. So it's much more capable. Now we do a lot of in-person and hybrid lessons as well. So, it's much more of a full suite of tools than it used to be.
Wow. Well, first of all, I didn't know that you went to Berkeley. That is so cool. And what program, which major was it that you had to do that project for?
The Pro Music Department. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's sort of the build your own major. So
yes,
my college experience was a bit of a weird ride. For the first 2 years, I was in the production department and I thought I was going to be a record producer. I was playing in a band and the band was doing pretty well. So we thought that we were going on an international tour and that we had a record deal signed, all that fun stuff. And it literally all crumbled overnight. So that was pretty rough. And so I actually ended up taking semester off from school to try to figure out what to do with myself. And then when I got back, I did a semester of film scoring, didn't really like that. And then I did the rest of the 2 years of pro music. And I sort of created this weird hybrid degree that was essentially education technology. So I started taking as many education classes as I could. And I took all of the entrepreneurship classes, and they actually just had started a new department at the school, which was an entrepreneurship department. So it was even separate from the pro music department. So it was kind of cool. I was able to leverage a lot of the things that Berkeley had. There was a class that I took called Startup Lab, and it was in conjunction with MIT. So it was half MIT, half Berkeley. And so one of our professors it was super cool. Yeah, so we have
Boston, the schools in Boston. I mean, they've now combined with Boston Conservatory. I was there the years before the pre-merge, but there's a lot of overlap now.
It's kind of wild. I mean, when I was there, I left the year before that merger took official, but they had been trying a ton of experimental things. And one of them was this startup lab, and it was the MIT teacher, the Berkeley teacher. And then every week, it was actually hosted in IDEO's design firm in Cambridge. So you weren't even at one of the colleges. We were at like a company's headquarters for
that. That is so cool.
Yeah, it was so neat. And every week they had a specialist come in and talk to us for an hour. And then we had 2 hours of sort of prototyping, developing, and working on our stuff. And mine was the only product to actually come to life at the end of the class. Mm-hmm. And, fortunately, Berkeley became our first customer, so we basically just sold it right back to them. And that sort of got the whole thing rolling. And from there, that just sort of, you know, started this whole mission.
Was it Berkeley Online that, like, that sector of Berkeley that you sold it to or that you worked with?
No. So at the time, it was this was the practice app. So it was actually base department was actually the very first.
Oh.
Use it. So it was kind of like a My Music Staff for colleges, where it had practice tracking, scheduling, file sharing, all the sort of like administrative tools you would need.
Yeah.
Organized. And then for the students, it had a whole bunch of tools that would basically design practice routines for you. So it was pretty cool for what it was. It didn't in the end really work out as we had hoped. You know, that was sort of our one big sell. And it, you know, we tried a bunch of other smaller studios, but selling to colleges is very complicated. And at the time, I definitely didn't know what I was doing. So learning curve there for sure.
Well, cool. I love the backstory. You know, I think every entrepreneur's story is so interesting. Like, we could all write a book about you met this person and then this person, and then you tried this and it didn't work and this didn't work. And I mean, for me, for Teach Music Online, a lot of what people don't know is one of these music companies that will go unnamed hired me to build a course on online teaching in 2017. And so 2017, they reached out and said, "Hey, we see you're traveling and teaching online. You should create a course about how teachers can do this. Like, we think this is the future." And I was like, cool. So we spent like 3 months scripting and producing a course. And the whole deal was that they would market it and I would just build it. Yeah. Well, they like were the worst at marketing it. Like the worst. I can't even express the how bad it was. Right. It was just like on the back end of their website. And like,
yeah.
Anyway, I learned the hard way that a personal brand for me was the way to go, where I could be the one putting out content and working my butt off to make it get out there, you know, because a company, someone behind a desk isn't going to do anything for you. So that was a very, very tricky, challenging experience for me. But 2.5 years later, I finally got out of the contract and rewrote everything. So like that first course, that first product was just scrap. Like, but I learned, I mean, because of that first like brainstorm and like getting my vision on paper and on video, the second iteration of it was a million times better. And I'm sure you've seen that. Like, each time you build, it's better.
Yeah, definitely. We're on what I call Musi 2.0, which we launched in January, which is really the third version of Musi. And then there was an app between that never got released. And there were two versions of the practice software before that. So this is our fifth product in the scheme of things. And it's very much every time you reiterate, you learn from what your mistakes were, or hope you do.
Yeah.
And then decide to adapt and move forward. Yeah.
Okay. So Musi is a couple of different things. What are teachers coming to you for first?
Usually the first thing they know us for is the online lessons. That's sort of the thing that kind of grew the brand throughout the pandemic, was just having the high quality, high fidelity classroom that you could teach. And, you know, you can have big groups, you can have individual lessons, you know, all of that's conducted in the virtual classroom. It's really high fidelity audio and video, so you don't need to worry about, you know, the dipping and warbling sound problems that a lot of people were dealing with. So that's usually the first thing people sort of see and know us for, and that's kind of why they find us. The next thing is sort of I describe Musi as if you were to combine, unfortunately Tonara is no longer around, but Tonara plus Zoom is sort of what Musi is, or now I guess I would call it like Google Classroom for music teachers, where much more of the suite of tools that you use to educate. So we have in-person rooms and hybrid tools, so it doesn't matter anymore what type of teaching you do, and it doesn't matter how your students interact with you, whether it's face-to-face or if it's virtual. The platform is pretty much adapted to cover any of those needs. And then the other side is the student stuff, which is all the practice tools. We've got dozens of practice features, assignments, recording tools, all that kind of stuff. So students have awards and leaderboards and, you know, all of that sort of content.
Okay, so I want to back up and go to high fidelity video and audio. So help us understand this. There are so many platforms now out there. Are they all using different means for communicating audio and video, or are they all the same? Yes. And because it's kind of confusing to teachers when they're like, oh, use this. My opinion has been the teacher needs high speed internet and a good device, like an updated device. And then I feel like any platform you go to is going to basically work for you, with a few exceptions, right?
Yeah. There's a yes and no is the answer. If it's a music-based product, then probably using all the same tech. The big ones, FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, those are completely different. So like Zoom, for example, uses something called sockets. That's something they invented. It's their way of connecting sort of each other. It's great for what it does, but WebRTC is what most people are using now. And the reason for that is that you can have a web app instead of a downloaded piece of software. So for us, the advantage is if you use something like WebRTC and you use a cloud-based platform, any device will work. So you don't need to worry about device compatibility. So that's a big part of it. And then there is very much fine-tuning going on in the background. So the audio signal is very much manipulated. So there's definitely two or three ways you could do that. I think in the music scope, there's three or four of us that are sort of kind of the forerunners of this stuff. And one of the platforms out there very much built their own stuff, has been doing that for a while. And some of the others just buy products off the shelf and just incorporate them into their tools. So those are quite different in the sense. But you are sort of right at the core of it. If you have a good device and a good Wi-Fi connection, you should be good to go. I think the issue is that that's not the case for students. So we had to build Musi in a way where that's not a requirement, where a cell phone in the basement will produce close to the same quality as a laptop that's high-end. Of course, hardware matters. So if you got a better microphone, you will have a better quality sound. But yeah, at the end of the day, there's definitely fine tuning happening to make things really better. But I'd say there's two sides. There's conferencing platforms, which are just not designed for music, and that's not their focus. So they won't be building and spending too much effort making it work that way. And then there's music products, and that's the only focus. So every single feature, every update is fine-tuned to specifically work for music lessons.
I think that's a great way to think about it. If someone's been, because I see this conversation, I think once a week in our Facebook group, in our Facebook community, Skype isn't working for me. I'm like, well, it's not working for you. Like, I used Skype for years because these platforms like yours didn't exist, but no way on earth would I go back to using Skype. And it's this like frustration. Some people are, well, I just still use FaceTime. So I want to like shake teachers and be like, this is your career. Like, what are you doing? This is your career. If you have more than 10 students, if you have 10 students, okay, fine, use whatever you want. But if you are juggling 10 plus students and building a studio and like wanting to grow it, use a platform that was designed to enhance your lesson and to save you time. And so what I'm hearing about Musi is you're incorporating all these things the teacher would need to do anyway as additional tools they can use if it fits, if it works for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we think of Musi very much as a toolkit. When teachers come in, they're usually the most common thing at like the end of the demos is, whoa, this is way more than I was expecting. And it's in a good way. You know, we've loaded the program with tools. So, you know, the high fidelity audio and video is sort of, that's already been and done. There's, you know, we tweak it and update it as new tech comes around, but it's pretty much as high fidelity as you're going to get.
Yeah.
So really what you need now is other ways to interact with your students. So for us, the very first thing was a whiteboard. That was sort of the clear, like you got to be able to put some sheet music on screen and annotate it. And, you know, if you have it, one of the things we used to see teachers doing all the time was screen sharing like a PDF off their desktop and then annotating that on their desktop, and then taking a screenshot of that and then emailing that to the parents or the family. That's a lot of steps and a lot of messing around to achieve something that you could do internally where you can just bring the file into the platform, annotate it. You know, it all auto-saves, so you don't even have to hit save. It will just automatically share that copy with your student, so the student can go home and open their folder and they have access to it immediately. And like I said, because it's cloud-based, if you take your lesson on a laptop, but you're practicing on your phone, that's fine. You can still access everything right from your account. So that's sort of the idea with Musi, is that it becomes the ecosystem for you to teach in. Our rule is if it helps you teach or it helps you learn, then that's what Musi does. So the big thing we don't do is billing and invoicing. That is my scheduling. That's really not our wheelhouse. There's tons of great products out there that handle all that. I use Fonz, you know, so I think, you know, there's tons of stuff for that, where we focus directly on the actual prep for the lesson, conducting the lesson, and the after the lesson. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. And I mean, I was looking at your pricing. It's right around, I think, what you would expect for a tool that does those things for you. And I wanted to address pricing because teachers are so hesitant to take on any new payments. And I, they know where I stand on this, but you run a business, and the more value you add to your studio, the more, not, we shouldn't say you are allowed to charge for it, but you should already be charging a registration fee or build it into your tuition and look at it as your business expenses. Every successful business has expenses. And right, like some music teachers are just like, I can't spend money on that. And I think they forget that money comes into the business, and then we support our business, and then we pay ourselves from the business.
I think too many teachers don't treat themselves like businesses. I mean, I hear it all day, every day from people. And the amount of people that scoff at $24 a month makes me laugh, because I ask them all the same question. How much do you charge for lessons? And never has a teacher said less than $24 for a half an hour. Never in my life. It's always more than $24 for a single half an hour lesson. We're talking about the entire month is $24, where one student's half an hour lesson would pay for the entire product. And then all other three lessons are profit already to you. So it's one of those, like, if you even have one student, you should be making those investments into your business. It really, this is sort of a struggle I think we all kind of face. And a lot of it I can kind of blame on sort of the education of teachers. We're all guilty. Like, I'm 100% guilty of this. Is after college, it was now what? You know, who do I talk to? And it's people like you and, you know, people that are building these communities that you go to and you find this information from. And then you start to feel more confident because you're seeing other teachers and make these investments. And I think that's something that it's hard to explain, but once people do it, they're like, oh yeah, this is a no-brainer. Like $25 a month and I'm able to cover my entire business. And I can run a whole teaching studio on three products and it costs $67 a month. You get a Squarespace, a Fonz account, and a Musi account.
Yep.
You can have an incredibly, you can literally have $100,000 business a year from those three products and it costs you $67 a month. I mean,
yes.
There's no other businesses in the world where you can operate at such a low operating cost.
Oh my gosh, right. And then you're eliminating now with online your gas expenses, your vehicle expenses, your studio rental. And then think about how much we spent. I always think of this like to go to Berkeley, like how much money did we invest in our in our education to then say, oh no, I can't invest in my business, my future.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I think it's crazy. But well, the nice thing, I guess, I say nice thing, the pandemic didn't do much nice, but the thing that did come out of it was this sense of community that I feel has grown drastically over the last 3 or 4 years, where teachers are now finding, because everyone went online, finding these online communities that are, like I said, like what you're doing, providing this kind of information that you might not have been confident about or not so sure about, or even just questioning whether or not other people were even doing this. You know, is anyone else spending this money, or am I an idiot for spending this money? You know, and it's nice to have that confirmation from sort of the masses that's like, no, this is definitely the right way forward, is spend a little bit of money and you can make a lot. And that's, you know,
oh, yeah.
I don't think there's so much of like a cap that people think there is. I meet a lot of teachers who are like concerned they're only ever going to make so much money. It's like, I mean, I've seen teachers make well over six figures. I have a studio that makes seven figures plus a year, and they just do it teaching online. And mm-hmm. it's pretty impressive, you know, and you just have to be pretty savvy. But if you're willing to put it and really go for it, the sky really is the limit with this kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And that my entire goal with Teach Music Online has been giving them giving teachers a roadmap, because we get overwhelmed with like, well, where do I even start? Like, you know, if you're a starter studio, you don't have a website yet, you don't have a Google Business, you don't have reviews, you don't know how to position yourself. And the value that comes when you invest in yourself, along with, you know, you mentioned the good that came from the pandemic. I think our society recognized the need for therapy. And yeah. like everyone, so many people I know and that we know and that I myself like pay for therapy now, and the value that it brings your life when you pay for professional help. Yeah. In areas, right? And so I'm not a therapist, but I am a coach. Yeah. And I coach teachers through growth and through these hesitations, fears, roadblocks, everything that comes up that keeps them held back for years from making those big changes.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good sort of point too, is that a lot of this is heavily ingrained over the course of many, many years. I meet teachers who have been teaching for 30 years, and they feel uncomfortable changing anything because it's worked well for 30 years, but the landscape has changed. So if you're not going to adapt, and if you can't make these changes, then you will get left behind, unfortunately. I mean, we saw that a bunch during the pandemic, but it's, you know, I think also because of now the resources, there's a more reasonable way to keep yourself going. And the changes that need to be made are not as drastic as I think people think they're going to be. I think some people are under this impression.
Right.
If I go all online, or if I change my business model, or if I start hosting groups, or if I, you know, change up my schedule or something, that it's going to all fall apart on you. When in reality, that almost never happens. I mean, when you raise your rates, usually one person might quit, if that, you know, it's like those are, and I see the hesitation from people all the time, like, oh, I can't raise my rates. I've been charging this forever. You're like, exactly why you should be raising your rates. It's like,
right.
Is that just hesitation? Because they're just not sure. But, you know, I like I said, I think the sort of the communities we're all building, and it feels now much more like a cohesive community, where I'll talk to teachers and they're very well aware of a lot of the other people in like what you're doing, what Fonz is doing, what, you know, all these other companies are doing. They're all sort of clued into what's going on. And it's siloed, which I think is really cool.
It is so cool. So tell me about AI and how AI has been incorporated into music, because we just want to overwhelm teachers right now with ideas. So
AI is my favorite. So literally, I was cloning myself, which sounds kind of insane, but it worked. I have my own AI system, and we were training it on about 3,000 pages of content. And basically now, if you ask it a question, it will answer it as if I was answering the question. And it even pretends to be me. Like if you say, who are you? It will say, I am a clone of Sam Reddy. And so that stuff's kind of fun. But the real way we've implemented AI is in Musi, we have a feature basically when you start your lesson, and this is actually great for in-person lessons as well, but it's phenomenal online. You hit record and the AI listens to everything that happens in that lesson. So it'll listen to you talking to your student. It doesn't listen to like the music. It listens to the like conversational. So anything you say, anything your student says, everything is transcribed in real time into a little notepad. And then at the end of the lesson, or whenever you're ready, you can click AI magic, and basically it will ask, what do you want to do with this transcript? And the options are things like assignment, a 3-day practice routine, a 5-day practice routine, a quiz, lesson notes, and my favorite, the little bit of everything, which is basically just a whole bunch of content for the student and for the teacher. And basically the idea is that you don't need to write assignments anymore or even write your own notes. Because by the end of the lesson, it will have transcribed it. And then when you hit that button, it's contextually aware that the AI's job is a music teacher's personal assistant. So it's understanding this is a music lesson. So if you spend the first 5 minutes talking about your cats or, you know, what you did over the weekend, it will just cut all that out because it's not relevant to the music lesson portion. And it will, it's very good at extrapolating more information. So, and it gets smarter as it goes. So basically, you don't need to write anything down anymore. You just teach your lesson and then just click a button at the end of the lesson. That assignment is shared with the student and the lesson notes are shared with you.
Okay, for those listening, my eyes are huge right now. That is so cool. First of all, I'm not surprised that AI is capable of this. I have been watching AI. My husband's a photographer. We do a lot of video work and video editing. And we've watched AI kind of come in and be incorporated into programs like Premiere Pro and Lightroom and other software. And it's like, oh, wow, this can be applied in so many areas. But wow, that's so cool. I need to have you come in our community and do a demo of this for our teachers, because that is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, the AI stuff, I mean, it's one of those things where it's exponentially getting smarter and at a rate that is kind of dizzying. The most recent ChatGPT thing that they just released, the 4.5 Turbo, which is, I think they said it's 100 times smarter than the last one, which was 100 times smarter than the last one, which was 100 times smarter than the last one. And that's in 12 months, they basically made it 100,000 times smarter than the first one. And that rate of sort of continuous growth and continuous progress is almost unparalleled in any other industry. And now it's a matter of utilizing it to be actually useful. You know, I see a lot of people, the first hesitation with AI is always, I don't want it to write songs for me. I don't want it to steal my song ideas. And I don't want it to, like, you know, rip me off. And those aren't fair, but those are also things that you'd have to specifically program the AI to want to do all that stuff. So I don't know why you would want to. So it doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, I have no interest in an AI writing songs for me. That's just not how I see it being useful. But at the same time, I could see a scenario where if you're a really busy teacher and you need to whip up a quick backing track in a specific key at a specific tempo, then it might not be so bad to be able to just type that prompt in and get a really simple thing that you could use with your students. Now, I wouldn't go out and try to write an album like that, but if it's something you can use to enhance the quality of the education you're providing, then I think that's perfectly fine. And I don't worry so much about, like, copywriting yourself or anything like that. You know, the way we imply implore AI is basically that it's listening to you, it's feeding off of you. So anything you give it, it will run with that. So it's still your original thoughts and ideas. It's just organizing them for you.
Yes, absolutely. I've been using it and trying to help teachers use it to edit what they write. So like, you write your best email that you can in 5 minutes to a parent, and then you copy and paste it and say, edit this email, and it'll edit it to sound more professional. You could even say, make this sound more friendly, or make this sound less confrontational, or make this shorter. I use that all the time.
Yeah, that's probably my most common one, is like summarize. Yeah. By or can, yeah, enhance. But I sort of the thing I was working on this morning is basically a more enhanced version of that. So with the sort of AI that I'm training to be me, the reason I'm doing it is because if I now needed an email written, I can just say, hey, write me an email to Carly. Here's the context of the email, and it'll write it in my voice. So it doesn't like go overly flowery or too professional, and it fits and uses even slang that I would use. So that's really cool because, you know, if I don't have to fight with the tools I'm using, then they are literally creating a more efficient and more productive environment for me. And, you know, I run Musi, but I also teach lessons. So I'm very busy day to day. So I need all the help I can get. And if it's AI, then cool. And AI is reliable and doesn't go to sleep. So.
and it's a means of communicating information. You know, we don't need to think of it as, oh, it's replacing me. It's no, like, everyone reads emails. Everyone needs to know your response to this or that. And it's just a way of doing that a little more efficiently.
Exactly. Yeah. We hear a little bit of, oh, is this going to eventually become a music teacher or something? maybe in 10, 20 years from now, you might have some kind of AI that could conduct a lesson effectively. But the amount of data you would need to train that on is insane. And it's just not something that people are actively working on. At least we're not. And I know throughout the community, there's really not that many people interested in that. And it's because we do something that's human. This is art at the end of the day. You know, yeah, you can have DALL-E draw you a painting, but it's more fun to draw the painting yourself. That's the, like, we get enjoyment out of playing music, out of teaching, and students get enjoyment from learning and creating. So I wouldn't, I'm not too worried about the idea that like AIs could replace us or anything. I really think they'll enhance us. And I personally already see it.
So cool. Well, there are so many things we just didn't even get into, but I think overall, I love the approach of Musi and knowing that you guys are at the forefront of making music lessons as modern as tech, you know, as we can be, to keep up with what's changing, but also to keep our students engaged. It's really, really amazing and inspiring to see what you guys have done. Teachers, you can go to musi.live to check out anything. Do you want to add anything else? I know there's a lot we didn't cover, but anything else about Musi?
Yeah, there's a lot. If you want to check it out, just come over to the platform. I do the demos personally myself. So if you want to have a chat and learn about what we're doing or anything, feel free to come on over and check it out. Musi works for online, in-person, hybrid lessons, any types of studios, any types of teacher. So if you're teaching music lessons, it probably will be useful for you, hopefully.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you so much.
Thank you once again for tuning into today's episode. If Musi has piqued your interest, which I hope it has, remember that you can explore its capabilities through a free demo by visiting musi.live. It's opportunities like these that remind us how the right training and tools can profoundly influence the success of your teaching business. For those of you inspired to change or elevate your studio, I invite you to consider the Teach Music Online membership. This membership is a comprehensive resource designed to enhance every aspect of your online teaching practice, from in-depth courses to group coaching sessions, not to mention access to an incredible community of expert online educators. It's all geared towards helping you succeed. While the membership enrollment is currently paused, I'd encourage you to join our waitlist. You can get on the waitlist by visiting teachmusic.online. I can't wait to have you there. You will be the first to know when we reopen in 2024. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your week. I know what little time you have to learn what you need to be successful. This is why I created the Teach Music Online membership, the only membership dedicated to helping online studio owners thrive. Here you'll find courses, group coaching, and community, all designed to save you time and help you grow your business. So whether you're hoping to create more engaging lessons, grow a waitlist, create digital courses, or build a new website, we have exactly what you need. And now you can also get online teaching certified with our certification course. To join the waitlist, head over to teachmusic.online and you'll be notified when we open doors to new members. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you there.